this morning, one of my co-captains from the Trust and Obey table. I was talking to him today, and I said, you know, do you remember the old cartoon characters, Mutt and Jeff? I said I had a flashback, and I saw Don and I standing next to each other, and we looked like Mutt and Jeff. Don was born in Amsterdam, New York, and he's lived in New York State, California, and now in Florida. And the sweetest thing on the whole bio is that he married his high school sweetheart, and they've been married for 53 years. He has two children, a boy and a girl, six grandchildren, and three great-grandchildren. He says that he was a working alcoholic for 22 years out of the 60 years that he worked. He's worked in several areas of service to community. He's been ordained minister since 1999, and he's been a member of the Iron Men of God for over 4 years, and he's been a big help to me whenever I've needed. He's really a good prayer partner. He's dedicated his life full-time to serving Jesus on May 17th, 2017. I'd like to introduce to you my buddy, my friend, and a real man of God, Don Stanton.
Before I get into the subject of Andrew, which is today's subject, how many of you were at Iron Men of God last Friday? Rick Bonner knocked it out of the park, didn't he? Well, let me tell you, it's not much fun trying to follow someone like Rick that when he's the last one to speak and you're speaking next. But it is what it is. Secondly, he was right, David Hill. The four books that we're engaged in this year are right on time and needed. I'm three-quarters of the way through all of them, and it's just a blessing to get back into those books and see what men and women are supposed to be as Christians. So thank you, David, and the group that picked those books. Since I started Iron Men of God 3 years ago, I feel I've changed, but I didn't know if anybody else saw it until the other day when my wife came and says, you know what? I've seen a great change in you, and for a person that's been with me for, we'll finish our 54th year in April, and we'll start our 55th year in April, and she's already told me that I'm retiring, which I am going to retire come the end of this month, and we're going to be doing some traveling, according to her. So if I can get you to stand up for a minute, I'd like to open up with a prayer that St. Andrew, and it says, oh, glorious St. Andrew, you were the first to be called by our Lord. And with courageous love, you died a martyr's death and offered your life's blood to build the kingdom. Stir in our hearts now a desire to save souls and do all things for the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
Andrew was one of the two sons of Jonah and was born between 5 and 10 A.D. in Bethsaida in Galilee. Interesting is the first fact that Andrew is not a Hebrew name, it's a Greek name. And it's indicative that a certain culture of openness was that going on at that time, changing from Hebrew to more of a Greek nature. The meaning of Andrew means brave and manly. And the first thing I did when I read that was think about our good friend here, Andy. We first meet Andrew as a disciple who's following John the Baptist. And at one point, Jesus walked by and John the Baptist pointed out and said, there goes the Lamb of God. And so Andrew and another undisclosed person went and spent the afternoon with him. Andrew decided he was right. He is the Messiah. And the first thing he did was went and got his brother and told his brother, Simon Peter, that he found the Messiah. So Andrew was called the first called. The conversion started when we find Jesus walking by the Lake of Galilee and he spots the four fishermen on two boats fishing, and it happened to be Simon Peter and his brother Andrew and two other ones. And he called and said, follow me and I'll make you fisher of men. Thenceforth, the two brothers were disciples of God. They were called to closer companionship and left all things to follow Jesus. Jesus also enlisted two other men, brothers James and John, sons of Zebedee. Jesus used the boat to preach to those gathered on shore. And again, after an unsuccessful night of fishing, Jesus had them load their nets and they almost capsized the boats with the amount of fish they caught. So that was their start of discipleship. They all left there and went to Capernaum, where among other great events, they went to the home of Andrew and Simon Peter, as Simon's mother-in-law was sick and Jesus healed her. Well, let's see, I'm quite sure if most of you were there and saw something like that, you'd say, yes, we're going. Subsequently, the Gospel of Andrew is referred to as being present on some of the most important occasions and most closely attached to Jesus. When there were 5,000 men, women, and children gathered to hear Jesus speak, and they got late and they questioned how to feed them and where they're going to get the food, how they're going to pay for the food came up. It was Andrew, after much debate, that found the two boys and brought him up to Jesus with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the crowd was fed and extras were gathered. And when certain Greeks went to see Jesus, they went to Philip, the disciple, and Philip was unsure whether or not to send him to Jesus, so he sent him to Andrew, who Andrew brought him right to Jesus. Andrew was present at the Last Supper. Andrew was one of the 4 disciples who went to Jesus on the Mount of Olives to ask for the signs of Jesus' return at the end of age. So Andrew was first to hear Christ, first to join the inner circle, first missionary, and had a servant's heart hoping to hear the same thing I want to hear someday. Well done. Internship. As Andrew started, is the patron saint of several countries and cities. He's considered the founder and the first bishop of the Church of Byzantine and also in Constantinople. The Bishop Benedict XVI called him the apostle of the Greek world, and since he was the brother of St. Peter, the first bishop of Rome, their brotherhood is symbolically expressed in the special reciprocal relations that are Syrian Rome and Constantinople, which are truly sister churches. Now, one of the interesting things was St. Andrew was said to have been martyred by crucifixion at the city of Patras at A.D. 60. Andrew was bound, not nailed, to a Latin cross, although tradition says they use an X cross. I'm not sure, I wasn't there, but he did not deem himself worthy to be crucified the same way as Jesus did. The feasts of Andrew are observed on November 30th, both the early Western and Eastern churches and a bank holiday in Scotland are held for the day of the feast. Though Andrew was only mentioned in the gospel 9 times, Andrew proved himself to be a crucial figure in the New Testament. Each time Andrew appeared in the gospels is a turning point or a famous act in ministry, and although the spotlight doesn't shine on him as brightly as other apostles compared to St. Peter, Andrew has 3 profound lessons, which we'll get to in a minute. Let's go back to his ministry. Andrew was looked at his first ministry as he traveled to Georgia. He is regarded as the first preacher of Christianity in the territory of the Georgian church. In Cyprus, the tradition holds the ship which was transported to Andrew went off course and ran aground. Upon coming across the shore, Andrew struck the rocks with his staff, at which point a spring of healing water gushed forth, and the ship's captain had been blind since birth in one eye, and his sight was restored. In Malta, St. Andrew is the patron saint of Luga. The patron saint's traditional feast is celebrated on the first Sunday of July, where the feast is really celebrated on November 30th. As Andrew preached the gospel and converted many to Christianity. One of the ones that came to mind here was Ukraine. Andrew preached on the southern border, even erected a cross on the site where the Church of Kyiv currently stands. Scotland. Legend claims that the relics of Andrew were brought by divine guidance from Constantinople to the modern town of St. Andrew, Scotland, where it stands today. Spain. St. Andrew's the patron saint of Duke of Burgundy. A form of St. Andrew's cross was used as a flag for Ducey of Burgundy. The Spanish crown, Spanish naval flag, and army battle flag up to 1843 were all parts of the insignia and still part of the military's insignia as the king and the King of Spain's coat of arms. There's 3 profound lessons that I wanted to share with you today, and they are as follows. Be quick and act to introduce Jesus to others. We are commanded to do so, yet most of us try to shy away from this. I encourage you to do so. The more you do it, the easier it becomes. One of the ways I used to do it and still do it today is when my wife and I go out for any place to eat, when they come, the service staff comes to take our order, we ask them, we're going to be praying when the food comes. Is there something that we can pray for you? When I first started doing it, people kind of looked at us kind of funny, but then one woman waitress came back and she had a list about this long. And it gets easier. 2, be humble. St. Andrew is said to have said this when he crucified, and this really hit me when I read this. Hail, O cross, inaugurated by the body of Christ and adorned with his limbs as though they were precious pearls. Before the Lord mounted you, you were inspired an earthly fear. Now, instead endowed with heavenly love, you are accepted as a gift. Believers know how great joy that you possess and of one of the multitudes of gifts you have prepared. I come to you, therefore, confident and joyful, so that you too may receive an excellence as a disciple of the one who hung upon you. O blessed cross, clothed in the majesty and beauty of the Lord's limbs, take me, carry me far from men, and restore me to my teacher, so that through you, the one who redeems me to you may receive me. Hail, O cross, hail indeed. So the question is, how do we show humility? I know there's some people that believe they're as great as Jesus, or do we realize that we need God's grace in order to become the best possible version of ourselves? Additionally, we are quick to allow others to have the spotlight. That's how you show humility. How do we praise Jesus in the midst of our trials and tribulations? Do we trust God will take our crosses and use them to bring glory to himself? And the third one is pray always. We must humble ourselves and always bring our needs to Jesus in prayer. In order to allow himself to be crucified in such a brutal manner, St. Andrew had to pray without ceasing. To celebrate the beginning of his feast on November 30th, there's a novena that goes until Christmas Eve. One is supposed to pray the prayer 15 times each day in order to obtain the prayer request. And it goes like this. Hail and blessed be the hour and the moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in piercing cold in that hour. Oh my God, to hear my prayer and to grant my desires through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and his blessed mother. Amen. I couldn't have said it any better than that. And when you get to read about these people, it brings back almost to when I was in seminary. And you tend to forget things when you're not going back and renewing them. And so to renew this with Andrew was a blessing for me, and I thank you all for today.
Every once in a while, I come early, and I sit in my truck. This morning, I was a little overwhelmed, TBH. That's to be honest, my daughters would tell you guys. Today's my birthday. And about 10 years ago, a small group of guys met at my house every Friday, 7 a.m., we did it for about 8 years. Well, this is probably gone 2008, so that's 15 years ago, 16 years ago. And we had a vision. Wouldn't it be cool if there's other guys in our community that could have a community like what we have in my house? So this morning I'm sitting out there, and I'm 57 today, and I'm just watching one guy after another pile up in here. And I'm praying over each one of you guys that I see. And I'm like, God, thank you so much for allowing me to see a piece of heaven right here at Four Rivers. I've cracked my window so I can smell some of the smoke coming down from the barbecue. And I'm like, God, thank you for John Rivers donating his spot here. And I went in the back and talked to the GM before I came in. And I said, bro, thank you for doing this, allowing us, our family, to come into your family and hang out here. So first timers, you guys are in for a special treat to be part of this community. I see like there's six of you guys. And a really little one this morning, which is super cool. So anyways, I just wanted to thank you guys. Thank you, Don, for the prep that you put into stuff like that. And your table, I know, is leading this month. New Smyrna, you guys are blowing up out there. I saw you. Uncle Randy's out there. He's got 15 guys or something like that in the room in New Smyrna. Anyways, I'm just overwhelmed this morning. And I wanted to just open up again in prayer. If you guys could stand with me. God, thank you so much for the blessing that you give us to be in community. Father, I pray this morning over these groups, these domes of confidence and confidentiality, that men will open up and be humble. And God, I pray that you would bless a special blessing of healing over their lives, over their marriages, over their lives. If there's a man that's sick here this morning, Father, I pray that you would heal him. Father, if there's a man that's in darkness this morning, Father, I pray that light would come in and that the darkness would flee. Father, thank you for the pastors that are here this morning. I pray a special prayer for them. Thank you for the fathers that are here. Pray a blessing over those guys. Pray over their marriages. Pray over their wives. And we ask all these wonderful blessings, God, that you've given us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys. Have a... Oh, no, don't sing for me. Online guys, they're singing. Thank you. All right, small groups.